Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Oh, man, I love playing the passes, man. It's just... my eyes fill with blood when I see them.
With blood?
Yeah, you know. Blood. Like I'm angry.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah, so just...
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Wee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Got my sweet jerk box with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounce kids?
Hitler. Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is November 15th, 2015, and this is episode 136. Company from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about the games against Orlando, Boston, and Minnesota. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First, from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Good to be back after an undefeated week. Feeling good, although shout-outs and thoughts and prayers to everybody in Paris and around the world. I mean, there's been a lot of shit going on that's not cool. So people, chill out. Let's stop doing crazy shit, okay?
For real. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles. John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? A couple things. First, I just got back from the Jaeger-sponsored Bar Wars, where Marrow and Libertine, the two places that I've worked before, were teamed up. And by the time I left, they were doing very poorly and probably not going to win. So, but shout out for the effort. And then secondly, on a more serious note, yes, Jason, you know, shout out to Paris and to all the people that have dealt with that tragedy and to Jan Mahimny, who, you know, I was mad at for missing free throws during a game when lots of stuff was going on in his head. So, yeah, let's root for peace.
What are the Jaeger Wars? And how do you lose?
So no, there's lots of games. There's a sort of a big trash can style beer pong. There's there's Jenga.
What, I'm sorry, what's trash can style?
Yeah. So like you use like kickball balls instead
ball.
Of ping pong balls, and there's trash cans. You don't have to drink the whole trash can worth of beer. Thank goodness. And then there's, there's
and you're
hungry...
drinking beer at the Jaeger Wars?
No, you're not.
Really,
you know, you are. No. There's Jaeger Wars. It's also sponsored by Coors. So there's Coors and Jaeger. There's hungry humans. So they put you out on like a little, rolly carts and you have to get up, balls with a,
why am I not watching YouTube of this right now?
Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing. It was a pretty fun event. The lip syncing event, finish it off, it was good. It was good stuff. There was a blindfolded drink contest, so basically they gave you a bunch of bottles and you had to make a cocktail even though you were blind, and with somebody telling you what the bottles were and how to get it, and Our bartender at the last second couldn't find the lid to his shaker, so he just shook it with his hand. And yeah, you were still judged based on taste and presentation, even though you were blind doing it. It was pretty fun. A nice event, and thanks to Jaeger and to Indianapolis for putting that on. So, shout out.
Coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
Man, I don't know how to follow that. I feel like I should have gone before him this week. Yeah, I was up in Portland this weekend. I drank a little bit of Jaeger, so I'm feeling surprisingly well under the circumstances. A little hair of the dog, but really a good week of Pacer basketball. I'm excited, man. Let's get this thing kicked off.
So you can't say that you survived the Jaeger Wars.
So can I ask a question, Harper, as our resident Colts expert?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a lacerated kidney is a bad thing for a quarterback to have.
Yeah, a bad thing for anybody. So I don't think that's quarterback specific.
Yeah. Is that like a direct result of the fact that we have no offensive line? Is that the idea?
I mean, it looked to me like not only the play they keep showing, but there was also an abdominal tear with it. Hmm. And it looked to be on this play where he vacated the pocket and was, you know, fighting for a first down, took one hit that brought him down, and then as he was going down, took a hit on the back as well, which yes. bent him over and contorted him in a bad way.
Mm.
So
this is Andrew Luck getting hurt, right?
Yeah, this is a Luckster.
Yeah. And we talked last week about how he's amazing, but we wish he would slide more. But maybe he doesn't get that first down if he slides, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the kid wants to win, but yeah, obviously, really bad injury. I didn't realize this, but there's like five different levels of kidney lacerations.
I had never heard of this as even a thing before this. But that makes sense, sure. What are the five levels? Like, ouch.
Ow!
Ouch.
Ow!
And dead.
Is it like the pain level 1 through 5? You know, like, it hurts.
Yeah, they show you the pictures.
One. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's angry face.
Yeah, but I feel like an NFL player is going to say it doesn't hurt like every time.
Well, he finished the game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, those guys, you know, essentially, if their bodies will let them, they will go and play. Like, they'll hurt themselves.
Yeah.
They'll end their own careers if you let them.
So, on a side note, I just assumed after I heard this that Harper and I both have kidney lacerations level 5, just based on drinking.
I think Harper has a 4, and then the Jaeger Wars put you to the 5.
Got a non-contact kidney laceration.
Some intense stones, man.
Hey, you guys. I think the Pacers might be interested in a player. What do you guys think? Danny Granger was cut by the Detroit Pistons. He has no team. Should the Pacers go and get this guy? Colson, what do you think?
I'm all about this. I love Danny Granger. I know we don't have room for him in the roster. I'm really pleased this week by the play of, we'll talk more about it, but the play of Chase Buttinger and Glenn Robinson III. So I'm not sure there's really a need for a 3-4 on our team right now, but as far as an ambassador of the team and an elderly statesman, I mean, the oldest player on our team right now is Monte Ellis, and he's 30 years old. So having sort of a sage and a guy who knows how to play basketball and a guy who's respected by his teammates, particularly Paul George, it'd be nice to have Danny back. Even if he's not going to see a ton of minutes. So I'm totally in on this. If we have to cut somebody, I think it's worth doing.
Did you say elder statesman or elderly?
Both, probably.
Okay, gotcha. I don't know that he... I mean, this is a guy who wasn't good enough to make the Detroit Pistons roster. I don't know that he's got a whole lot left in the tank. But to the extent that you're thinking about it, I think that the question is, does he bring more than Solomon Hill, right? Because that's essentially the guy that you would be cutting.
Yeah.
My dog is having a very animated dream right now.
He's getting excited about Danny Granger.
He's really excited about Danny coming home.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ray. I mean, you wouldn't bring him on board to play minutes. He would be more of a veteran presence.
More of an elderly statesman, yeah.
Yeah. Which would be good for these guys, I think, right? But yeah, poor Solo.
Yeah, this is gone.
He went from being the dude that played the most minutes for us last year to like the first guy on the chopping block for.
It's gone south very quickly.
Need to sign another dude. Yeah. Oh man,
I'm gonna cut you for a guy we have no intention of playing.
That's right. Yeah. But he tells better stories, so
it's all about we're going to go with this guy.
No, I mean, yeah. I would love to have Danny back and have him, you know, play a year or two with us and retire as a Pacer. I that guy put in the years for us in a very difficult time, and you know, he could still play basketball. I'm assuming.
In a pinch or something, he could.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying he's going to see a bunch of minutes, but the kind of.
I mean, he could play solid minutes at the Thanksgiving game at the Colson House. Like he's good for that mm-hmm. game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We call that the Turkey Bowl. Yeah. Usually, I play point guard, and I can't dribble, so it's very awkward.
Well, I think we should get into the games of the week.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, whenever you want. That's the sound of the not-all-that-fast break.
First one, Indiana takes on the Orlando Magic. They win this one 97-84. This one was close till about 5 minutes left, I say. Pacers turn it on and win the fourth quarter 25-13. Paul George gets 27 points. George Hill, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. I think notable from the Orlando was Evan Fournier. Had a great game, 21 points. But this one was, you guys, Jason and Colson, you said that that's kind of what some of the Orlando guys were saying. The people in Orlando were saying that the Magic just couldn't finish, and this is exactly what happened this game.
Yeah, well, this was the great Chase Budinger.
That's right.
This was his breakout game. He made a couple really nice defensive plays, I thought, that turned the tide of the game there in the fourth quarter. And really, I thought it was more so that the Pacers did a good job of stepping up their defensive intensity and shot making, mm-hmm. More so than it was Orlando sort of choking this one away. I mean, obviously, you know, they definitely had 21 turnovers on the night, so they didn't exactly help their cause completely, but I thought it was a really great sign that our guys, Monte Ellis made some plays down the stretch, like Paul George obviously is playing like a beast lately and made some really good shots. But yeah, a really good sign on the second night of a back-to-back, too, against a feisty Orlando team. So it's a nice win.
Yeah, super solid. We get a little bit lucky in no Vujovic, but we did close out the game. Fournier was talking us up after the game. He said, when we had the momentum, he said they make all their shots, they get all the 50-50 balls. That's how you close out games. You'd love to get that kind of praise from the guys that you just played. So a nice job. It looked like a veteran team out there closing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Forcing
mm-hmm.
7 turnovers down the stretch. I love it.
You know, one of the things that I thought, is going to be throughout this week, but really showed up in this game was, you're right, active hands, the way that we deflected balls and got steals, but also the way that we chased rebounds. You know, it's not just about boxing out, but it's about being quicker to the ball. And our big guys did a really good job of that. And that was one of the things that won this game. As well as, again, Jason, I thought Chase Budinger, on some level, won this game for us. He hit two mm-hmm. threes, maybe three. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but definitely had a steal down the stretch and a block down the stretch. He came in with the right energy at the right time, and I have been a critic of him in the offseason. But suddenly he looks like a guy that you want in your rotation. Really exciting sign for me as a Pacer fan, trying to figure out, you know, what's our identity and what's our rotation and all this stuff. And this guy looks like he fits in. So pretty cool stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a professional basketball player.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He goes out there and does his job. He knows. And I mean, he's not going to blow you away on the stat sheet or take over a game. Scoring-wise for any stretch of the time, but he's always in the right place and sort of seeming to do the right things for the most part. I mean, he was a plus 18
yeah, exactly.
on the plus-minus this game in 17 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, that's affecting the game, you know?
Yeah, I love 25 assists on 34 shots. That's amazing. You know, and you're right, with, you know, with Chase, he is a professional basketball player, but, you know, that's not just him knowing his role. That's, I mean, that's also good coaching. I mean, he knows what his role is supposed to be. We'll probably end up talking about the Kings on our Thursday show, but, you know, Ben McLemore, as part of all the fallout out there, basically publicly said, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what my role on the team is.
Right.
They're 8 games into the regular season. He doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing on the court. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have a team that understands what they're supposed to be doing in the midst of a lot of change, so those are really positive signs, and it's showing up on the in the win column.
Shout out to George Hill, who just had a really nice game, probably his best game of the season. You know, Paul George is the guy that wins these games for us. He's looking, especially this week, really looking like a superstar. But you know, I think the story this week is going to be that. That Jan Mahimny and George Hill just show up and they're professionals and they're the kind of guys on the team that are going to help you win games. And I thought George Hill really showed that in this game. He scored 23, you know, a plus 20 on, you know, differential and 7 rebounds for a little guy. It's a big game for him.
Yeah. It was actually after the Boston game, but... Vogel has some choice words for everybody out there, I guess, saying that George Hill doesn't ever get mentioned as one of the best defensive point guards in the league. And his quote was, "And I think that's a crack." But yeah, I mean, he does so much for us on both sides of the ball. So yeah, that plus 20, it's not fluky, right? He's out there getting it done.
Yeah, all week he did. Yeah.
It was a solid win. Definitely happy to get back back on another W on the sheet. It takes us to Wednesday, November 11th. Indiana travels to Boston, the first team they got to play twice this year. And they did what they did the first time, but they did it a little bit better, winning 102-91. I tell you the difference. The first quarter, pick up 31 points. Third quarter, 30 points. You get 2 30-point quarters in a game, and if you don't win that, something's wrong. PG again, big game, 26-10, and of course Evan Turner shows up for one of the handful of games that he's going to show for this year. Picks up 20 points against us.
Oh man, I love playing the Pacers, man. It's just my eyes fill with blood when I see them.
With blood?
Yeah, you know. Blood. Like I'm angry.
Jason, what did you see this game besides Miles Turner going out and breaking his thumb?
Oh, poor Miles Turner. Yeah, that was a bummer.
Is that like
I guess
four
he's
weeks?
Out 4 weeks or yeah, something yeah. like that. That seems to be the thing, which is a tough setback for a young player that is starting to get, I think, a little bit of rhythm and starting to get a little bit of confidence. But one potential silver lining is he gets to sit out and watch the game from the side, which I think young players can benefit. I think Paul George benefited from watching last year for quite a bit. But no, this game was good. I thought the ball movement was pretty good in this game. Paul George, again, doing Paul George things. I mean, 26-10 and really just kind of controlling the game. Yeah. I like you.
Was this the game where he scored like 19 points in the first quarter. Was not that's it wasn't that many, but he just like lit it up in the first quarter.
I can't remember which game it was. I think it was this game.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Where he was, you know, I think like 13 of the first 15 points or whatever in the first quarter. Something like that.
That seems right.
Yeah. He's starting to look real good at basketball again.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jordan Hill ended up with 12 points, 8 rebounds.
Three dimes. Another
good game for him. Yeah.
Like that.
Yes.
This is like Jan Mahinmi numbers.
No assist from Jan this game.
They did do hack a Jan in this game.
A lot.
And Jan did not respond. He hit I think, one of two a couple times down the stretch to keep us afloat. But he was not necessarily honing in. He's having a rough time at the line this year.
Yeah, I would argue that he responded exactly as predicted, so that's fine.
Hitting below 50%. Which is 50%.
Why Brad Stevens fouled him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It seemed like the Pacers have now, they want to get out and run, and they just can't do that if they're shooting free throws.
Yeah, it does slow the game down. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so Joey, one of your bold predictions for the year was Jan was going to shoot 45% from the floor, or from the free throw line, sorry. Right now he's at 22.2%.
Boy, man, he's not even close.
No.
He's almost halfway.
I think that's how percentages work.
Man.
No, I love it. We get 100 points up on the board in this one, and we still got some work to do as far as getting this offense really clicking. But we're going to win most of the games where we score 100, and we're increasingly going to be scoring 100 points a night. So this is it. This is the blueprint.
I thought another key to this game was C.J. Miles was back and back in the starting lineup, and he did a great job early on of shutting down Amir Johnson. They tried to go to Amir Johnson and sort of exploit that matchup, and it just didn't work for them, and so they had to go away from that. So this is another indication sort of that the small ball, if we can sort of survive the initial insults of the small ball lineup, then it tends to benefit us on the other end, because CJ himself, you know, was 6 of 10 from the floor and had 17 points and really spaced the floor and did some good things, I thought.
I think Marcus Smart's kind of scary. He's going to be something real soon here.
Mm.
You know who's not going to be something? Kelly Olynyk. I'm underwhelmed by him. Like, I understand that he hustles and he does stuff, but he does far too much dribbling. And maybe it's because the Pacers are top five in steals and they can just snatch the ball away. But, like, he just looked incredibly awkward dribbling the ball, and we, you know, abused him for it. He shouldn't be doing that much dribbling. I don't understand what his goal is.
Well, maybe he's just out of sorts. I mean, he's on the floor with a guaranteed all-star in David Lee.
Sure.
You know, he's got a...
yeah, that's true.
You know, he's trying to prove himself, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, he probably wants to be playing the five, but now David Lee's out there, so now he's got to play the four.
Yeah.
And now he's got to be the ball handler at the four. I don't know what's going on with that.
I mean, the thing about it, it's just sad as a coach, right? Like, you don't want to be in a position where if the other team shuts down one guy, you have no chance to win. And that isn't helpful at all when that guy is Isaiah Thomas, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just – we did a good job on him.
We did a really good job on him. And Isaiah Thomas is, you know, tough to guard in this league. So
yeah. And as a result, you know, no one's stretching the floor. We held him to less than 20% from three-point land. I mean, yeah, we just this isn't a very good team.
Well – I think it's a solid one.
Which is why I'm afraid it was a trap game.
No, I think it's a solid one on our part.
Well, and the other thing is we attacked the basket in this game, I thought. I mean, we've been in the bottom of the league in terms of points in the paint all year, and we get the most of our points come off of jump shots, significantly more percentage-wise than any other team in the league. But this game, we got into the lane 50 points in the paint, which is great. That's huge. I mean, we're normally averaging something like 28 or 30, so that's a good sign, and hopefully that continues, because we cannot survive shooting OMFGs all year long. Like that's just
clearly a point of emphasis, and this is the team that you want to start trying it out on, because they're just
with no rim protector,
no rim
protector anywhere in the building. Bill Russell must just shudder watching the Celtics
poor
team.
Poor guy.
I think that takes us to Friday, November the 13th. Pacers take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, all season or preseason. I think all of us here are pretty excited about the Timberwolves. They've had just a weird week. You know, they were up against Atlanta by 34 points, almost blew that game. And this game was kind of crazy, too. The Pacers took a huge lead early. And excuse me. I'm sorry, I almost choked that away. Pacers up 27 points and almost lose this game. Yeah, Minnesota had the ball towards right at the end with a chance to go ahead. The Pacers end up winning 107-103, but come on. I had said I had taken out my laptop and was kind of reading the news, and I think the team had been doing that too.
Remember all those nice things I said about the way we closed the Magic game? Yeah, this was the opposite of all those things.
Indeed it was. I mean, I think that as you got bored, Joey, so did all of the players that were playing this game. Except for the guys on Minnesota, who are just a bunch of young guys, so they just play hard all the time. Anyway,
they don't know when they're beat. They don't care.
Right.
They're 22.
Right. Zach LaVine put up like a posterizing dunk at, you know,
also,
towards the end of the game.
Who knew that he could shoot three-pointers? Like, I thought the whole thing was that he was Well, no, he hit like three of them in this game.
No,
like,
he did.
It was insane.
I would let him do that all day.
Yeah, but apparently we let him, and he did it. I mean, like, okay, this young team got back in the game, but we closed it out. I'm not as discouraged as you guys are. I actually look at it as a really good sign. I thought Monte Ellis proved himself a leader. I thought this was the game where I start looking at this team and going, okay, I see what this could look like. I see maybe what you know, Larry Bird was seeing in the offseason, where you've got a Paul George and a Monte Ellis that can be a 1-2 punch. And now you've got surrounding solid pieces that you've already created. And, you know, in a Rodney Stuckey coming off the bench, even though he didn't come on this game. But, you know, a George Hill and Jan Mahimny. Monte Ellis played great defense on the stretch. He played great offense on the stretch. He was the leader. And that's fantastic. That's just a really, really good sign. If we've got somebody who's a veteran who can play basketball along with a guy like Paul George who's a superstar, this team starts to look a little bit interesting. You look at our numbers over the season so far, and they're pretty mundane. I mean, we're pretty middle of the road and below that on most of the advanced stats. But, you know, if you've got two stars in the East, you can go a long way. So I started to get excited after this game.
Yeah. I think this was six games in a row that PG has topped 25 points. He's just killing it. And what was really nice about this is that we really spread out the shots. 17 for George, exactly 17 for Ellis. That kind of 50-50 split is probably where you'd like to be most games. But while they weren't busy yoking on people, they also dished out nine dimes between them. That means that the ball is moving around. Earlier in the week, Paul George had a quote which seemed really simple but was meaningful to me about, you know, basically just it's important to be moving in this offense. And that means that these guys are starting to understand what's going to be required of them. I think that part of what happened in that Minnesota game, I think we have some tired legs out there. You know, and
a little bit. I mean, we definitely were playing lineups that we don't normally play, I guess, for longer stretches, right? The bench was out there for longer, right? But, I mean, these are all good things, right? I thought that we played quite well, but just to throw a little wet blanket on things.
Thanks,
Jason. Because that's what I do. Because I'm a sad sack of a human being. Minnesota was coming into this game. It was their fourth game in 5 nights, so mm-hmm. they were a pretty exhausted team.
You're not allowed to be tired when you're 21.
Exactly. They were without not Ricky Rubio.
Ricky Rubio is not good.
Yeah, but he's the engine to that team, right? I mean, he's tell much Zach better Levine point guard than Zach LaVine. I'll tell Zach LaVine that. Zach LaVine, you should be playing shooting guard. Actually, I'll tell Smitch that. Smitch. Zach LaVine should be playing shooting guard, not point guard. What are you thinking? Anyway. But the other side of this wet blanket is that it worries me.
The cool side of the wet blanket.
The cool side of the wet blanket. It worries me that so Minnesota makes this run and gets back into it, which teams do. Like, I have no problem with that, right? What worried me was they get within 10 or something like that, and Frank brings back in, you know, Paul George and George Hill and Monte Ellis. And then at that point, there's still no go-to play where we can just get a bucket, right? Like, we talk about this a lot already this year. Like, what is our bread and butter play? And we would like it to be some sort of pick and roll with Monte Ellis and Paul George involved in some way, shape, or form, but we like rarely ever see that. And the best shots that we get are three-pointers, basically, or a long two.
We do have way too many OMFGs. I mean, you said we lead the league in them, but it's disturbing how many long twos, like with 1 foot over the 3-point line, we shoot in a game. Long term, that can't sustain. You know, it just can't. And we beat three, you know, fairly mediocre teams. I'm excited. I like the direction this team is going, but I agree with you, Jason. This was not overly confident building.
You guys suck. No, this is a game. For me, this is just something that happens during the course of a season.
Sure.
And I like the way that Frank dealt with it. He, you know, he again didn't call a bunch of timeouts down the stretch. Yep. He kind of tried to let these guys play through it. Obviously, mm-hmm. that didn't mm-hmm. work, but it is a character building experience. And you got to get a few of these under your belt. It's nice to eke out on the win mm-hmm. side of mm-hmm. it rather than end up with the L. And Monte Ellis finally at the end ends up, you know, closing the game with a really nice left-handed finish in the lane, finally mm-hmm. gets to the cup. There's stuff to build on here. And like I said, I think that part of this is conditioning too, and we're used to playing a certain pace. If we want to uptick that by 30 possessions a game, we're going to have to be in better shape, and I think that that's a work in progress. So there's plenty of positives
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. I just didn't want it to all be rainbows and lollipops.
A nice moment was that Glenn Robinson III did have a breakout game. Really nice. Even in the fourth quarter, played well for a young man.
Oh, that dunk that he had on the baseline?
Yeah,
that was nice.
Vicious.
And then he hit a critical threes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This kid is, maybe, I'm not saying maybe, like from what I've seen, is rightfully earned the minutes over Solomon Hill. Sorry.
Sixth man of the year, you said.
Kid looks good, and, I'm excited about him. And apparently what Denari was saying is that PG has taken him under his wing. Like, he's made Glenn Robinson his special project. So if that ends up being something, like, this is pretty cool.
Is he old enough to have a special project?
Apparently. That's what he's decided.
This is babies teaching babies, man.
Not babies having babies. Babies teaching babies.
By making him his protege, is that anything more than like making Glenn Robinson III carry his bags around?
I think he carries his bags, but then he also like gets to spend some extra time in practice with him. Whatever.
Okay,
like,
gotcha.
Like he gets to get schooled. Yeah, maybe take some. Yeah, maybe take some fishing.
Gotcha.
Sure.
But PG. On that note, this week I'm drinking the Blind Owl Hoo Hoo Honey Brown. The Blind Owl is a new brewery right by my house. first time I've got in there. I'm not a honey brown guy, but this is pretty tasty to my palate. It's Binford and 62nd Street.
Hmm.
Should when you guys come in town, we'll hit it up. A lot of TVs. We'll do. Watching ball. Jason, what are you drinking this week?
I am drinking a... What the hell is this? A Fordham Sunseeker Wheat Beer by Fordham Brewing Company in Dover, Delaware. It's okay.
I'm in Delaware.
Hi. Everything's just going to be okay until I get more Chasin' Freshies. Damn it.
Yeah, which I looked for all week, and it's a limited run when they can find the hops, and apparently it's nowhere to be found out here.
They sent it all to the East Coast. That's a shame.
They sent it all to the East Coast. So I had to settle this week for a nonetheless delicious beer from Hop Valley. Citrus Mistress. I've had this one on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
But a really nice beer. It's tasty to my palate.
There's only so many freshies out there, you know?
True.
And, you know, half the fun's in the chase.
Colson, you're done drinking for the day, right?
That's what Budinger said. I don't know. Whatever. I'm drinking not even the champagne of beers. I'm just drinking Shitty Miller High Life. No, Shitty Miller Light. It's too bad. Sorry, guys. Can't even do the jingle.
All of America will cry.
Exactly. Let's just pretend. I'm enjoying the champagne of beers. The Miller High Life.
Don't lie to the fans.
Yeah.
What do they know?
When you're lying.
What do they know?
They can see right through you, man.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Ouch.
All right, well, let's look ahead to this next week, because we're riding a sweet six games. We've won six of our last seven. We are 6-4. If the playoffs started today, why not? Let's start them today. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We would be in the playoffs.
Ooh.
We're in a nice stretch here where we aren't overloaded with a bunch of games, which is good, I think, for this team as they're instilling new systems. That means more practice time, time to get our legs underneath us, as you mentioned, Harper. So this week, Monday, November 9th, at the hated Bulls.
Oh.
This will be a good test for us, though. The Bulls are playing well. They're 6-3. Derrick Rose still has blurry vision, so maybe we can take advantage of that.
Jason, I think we got to link that article you sent over from The Onion.
Okay, sure. We can do that. Yeah, apparently the Bulls players are tired of Derrick Rose leaving his torn ligaments all over the locker room.
Oh, God. it's a health hazard.
Clean up after yourself, man.
Slipping on them.
Yeah. Then Wednesday, November 18th, at the Philadelphia 76ers. Do not let this be their first win, guys.
No.
Do not let this be their first win.
They're the last one standing, right?
Yep.
Last one laying?
Yeah.
Last one laying down.
And then Saturday, November 21st, hosting the Milwaukee Bucks.
On NBA TV.
Ooh, on NBA TV. That means I have to go to a bar to watch that. Okay.
So I think we can, sweep that week?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, let's do it.
I like six straight. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. Sure.
It's not bad for a rebuilding year.
For a lost season. Yeah. Absolutely.
For a team run by a guy that knows nothing about basketball.
Right. We're going to have to start cutting in like our panic mode moments from the off season during some of these shows.
Yeah.
Colson, like, rocking and crying in the corner.
No, look. So this week I really started to see the vision. I get it. There's a chance here for something nice to happen. I'm just concerned about some of the statistical trends. I'm not sure we're not doing anything very well.
Winning is what we're doing.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's only one stat
that winning, but we're beating.
This isn't fantasy basketball. No, you don't have to dominate a category.
No. But we're beating shitty teams right now. Like, I mean,
that's definitely true.
You know,
but that's the first thing that good teams do.
No, I agree with that.
We're not losing to shitty teams.
No, I agree with all of those things.
But I want to yell at you more.
I'm just trying to figure out who we're going to become. Look, I really like Monta Ellis. I like Monta Ellis and Paul George. I like that George Hill's on the team. I think that we need another big guy, and Miles Turner probably ends up being that. I like the direction this team is going. I like the active hands and the defense with the steals. It's different than we were doing before, but it's still really good. So shout out to Vogel and kind of switching up the way that we play defense. But I'm still not sure that we know who we are or how to run this offense. And I also look across the pond, or whatever, across the conference at
the British.
Yeah, exactly. At the Western Conference, and there are people doing what we're trying to do way better. I mean, Oklahoma City and Golden State are scoring like 115 points a game, and blowing people out every night. Better teams than the freaking Celtics and the Timberwolves. So, I just want to temper our enthusiasm. I'm happy we're on a winning streak, but I'm going to be a pessimist right now until we start beating some better teams.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad that at least you finally came around on Paul George and are willing to say that you like him. So, I like it.
We should get out of here before this gets heated.
It's a good call, Jerry.
Right, we'll wait for that for the second show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll save it for the pod.
Save it for the pod.
Oh, wait. This is the pod.
Oh, right.
Save it for the other pod.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is surprisingly TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. And we have t-shirts for sale, if you didn't know. No, I see none of you guys are wearing those tonight, but they look good nonetheless.
I'll change for the second show. Don't worry.
Yeah, thank you.
For once Jason is rocking his hickory tonight, though.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Yeah, looking good, yeah. Buddy.
Which one do you get? I can't see the number.
Oh, it just says hickory. Oh,
okay.
There's no number.
It's not like
too meta to put a real player on there for you.
Yeah.
Is it Bobby Plump's number, which is just not actual? Oh, speaking of that, this reminds me again, we need to again make sure that next year the Pacers are going to honor the Oscar Robinson and the Christmas Addicts team that was the first all-black team in the entire nation to win a state championship. That starts next year. We're going to honor them. We're going to have jerseys. We're going to make that happen, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm on day three of my hunger strike until they give way.
All right. Because here's the deal.
I am sure the Pacers would be very glad to honor whatever movie was made about that.
So do we have to argue to get the movie made first? I don't know. This will be hurry. Next year will be year 61, I guess, which would be kind of awkward on the years. But let's make that happen. As you all mull on that and figure out how to, protest and whatnot, for our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard, turn out the lights, the party's over.
Was that a category in Jaeger Wars?
If it was, I would have won.
I think that was the theme music to Bar Wars.
So where were the Jaeger Wars held?
In the Pan Am Plaza.
Where? Like, oh, and outside?
No.
It's hilarious.
Where they used to do the Pan Am games or whatever.
Where great athletes played in the Pan Am game.
Right across the street from Mikado, Joey. That's where it was, wasn't it?
No, outside, like the plaza is a large area.
As in inside the Pan Am building.
On the hockey rink.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you do it on the hockey rink?
There was no ice.
Everything on skates.
There was no ice.
That would have been even better. I need video of this immediately. Mm-hmm. So this is like baby races great.
Ooh.
Garbage can beer pong on skates.
So many slit jugulars.
Sign me up.
It's going to be amazing.
There was no ice involved, Joey.
So
across the street from Mikado, Pan Am.
I mean, I know where Pan Am Plaza is.
What I'm saying is, you clearly don't, because you keep asking me the question about where it was.
All right, this conversation is over.
Or is it just beginning?
Nope, it's over.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.